Welcome to The Grill Room. On the menu this week, all the latest news, views, and opinions from the world of professional golf. Your maitre d's are Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli, two friends who rarely agree on anything. You can count on them to give you both sides of the story, whether you want it or not. Remember, keep your applause to a mild clap, all right? After all, we're talking golf here.
It was an action-packed week in the world of global golf. Hi, I'm Bob Bubka, here with Alex Maselli. Alex, we had the Olympics. We had the last event on the PGA Tour regular season as the playoffs now begin. And we had the U.S. Amateur all last week. What a week in golf.
Well, it just keeps going. You know, this time of year, Bob, this is what happens. Everything gets kind of compressed. You know, the PGA Tour trying to get their event in, most of their events in, big events before football really starts. And obviously the Olympics were a little bit of a curveball, and the amateur is always this time of year. And in this particular case, kind of compelling being at Oakland Hills, but yeah, a lot going on.
And of course, the last time that golf was played in the Olympics, a long, long time ago, it was held in Paris, France. And, you know, there were only two events, the individual men and women. Matter of fact, the ladies, they only had a nine-hole event. Margaret Abbott shot a 47, and she won. Certainly, women's golf has come a long way since that first encounter.
Well, I mean, that was the only encounter in the Olympics for the women. The men obviously played one more time in St. Louis. But, yeah, I mean, it's been a long time, 116 years. If you watched it at all, NB Park, who's had some struggles in 2016, I think that's fair to say, with injuries and such, just completely just annihilated the field in Rio, winning the gold. Huge win for her. Huge win for Korea. And actually, as we go along and talk about the winners on the women's side, between the men and the women, there's going to be six countries represented in the medal total on the golf side. So unlike any other sport, I think you'll see that it's really a global sport, the game of golf.
You know, you have huge connections to the world of golf through various outlets, obviously. Being part of the Grill Room, being publisher of Golf Week magazine, you probably have a keener appreciation of the talents of NB Park. I don't know if the average American golf viewer realizes how great a player NB Park really is.
Well, that's probably true. I mean, it's, you know, the LPGA doesn't get anywhere near the ink or the representation on television that the PGA Tour does. I mean, it's just so different. It's the 500-pound gorilla versus the gnat, really, when you see it. But, you know, not only is NB Park such a good player and someone that maybe in the U.S. that follows golf may know the name, but because South Korea is so golf crazy, and not men golf crazy, but women golf crazy, NB Park is clearly a huge win and a huge presence in South Korean golf.
It's hard to imagine the waves that were made by Siri Park back in 1998 when she won the Women's Open. And it's just incredible what they're able to do now in the world of professional golf. And it all started with Siri Park, who happens to be a lovely person and a lovely ambassador for the sport.
Yeah, I mean, just retired. That was maybe one of the most compelling women's golf events that I've ever been to in the 20-plus years I've been covering golf, and it was early in my career, you know, playing against Jenny Shishirporn, the American, having to go to a playoff, which was also compelling. It was that was one of the best women's opens I've ever been to. That and obviously the one that was at Cherry Hills when we were in Denver as well. That was another really compelling event. And kind of foreshadowed some of the better players that are going to be coming up in the world of golf. I mean, Michelle Wee was there. Lorena Ochoa was there. A lot of really good playing going on that week as well. So, you know, women's golf has a lot to offer, certainly to fans, but also the sponsors, because the women are so giving. They're so open. They're so willing to participate. And differently than the men, because the men are – you know, multimillionaires. Some of these women may never see $1 million in career earnings and yet be a very good player.
You mentioned that U.S. Open victory by Siri Park. We shared something that I doubt we'll ever see again. Of course, it was in the state of Wisconsin, and Herb Kohler is the literal king of Wisconsin. And there was George W. Bush walking down the fairway during that 18-hole playoff on Monday. Kohler and Bush in the middle of the fairway, right behind the players. I mean, I had never witnessed anything of that magnitude before, and I don't think we'll ever see anything like that again.
Well, everything's changed. You know, the world is different now. We should mention, though, Bob, Lydia Ko playing well, coming from way back at the beginning of the tournament, winning the silver medal for New Zealand, including, obviously, the first professional hole-in-one for her ever on the third round with a 7-iron from 142 yards on the eighth hole. And then Shenshen Fang winning the bronze medal for China. And I guess the quick question to you might be, whose medal do you think is more important to their country and the growth of the golf in that country? Is it going to be Shenshen Fang's win for China, first medal ever for China in golf, or Inbi Park's medal for Korea?
Well, I think the obvious answer is certainly with the size of China and with the possibilities that it opens up, it's not too hard to imagine, Alex, 10 years from now, players from China probably will be dominating both on the LPGA Tour and possibly also on the PGA Tour.
Well, I mean, I certainly think it's a possibility that you're going to see some really good Chinese players. There's no question about that. Will they be dominating? That's another question, but we'll see what happens. The American contingent, Stacey Lewis, T4, doesn't make a 10-footer on the 18th hole to get her in a chance to medal. Pretty much sums up her entire year, that 10-footer. Jenner Piller, who played very, very well through three rounds, pretty much gave it up in the fourth round, 74 on the final day, T11. And Lexi Thompson, never really part of the possibility for a medal at T19. Bob, I guess the real quick question is were the Olympics a success, not for both the men and the women, but just in general, were they a success?
Well, I reluctantly have to say, yes, they were a success. I think a lot of things went in their favor. I think the thrilling playoff, the final 18 holes between Henrik Stenson, the champion golfer of the year, having won the Open at Royal Troon, and Justin Rose doing battle right to the 72nd hole certainly was compelling. And then Inbi Park. But I want to capitalize for our listeners, Alex, and ask you, because you were there in Rio, what would you change? I'm going to make you in charge of the golf that's going to take place in Tokyo in 4 years, 2020. Having been there, having witnessed, having had a little time to reflect, what would you change about what we witnessed to make it better?
Well, the only thing would be the format. They have to address the format for a lot of different reasons. And I don't think it changes how it's viewed when you're there. I think the people that were there in Rio had never really been exposed that much to golf. So seeing golf and seeing it in a competitive landscape and understanding that there were going to be medals at the end of the day, it was like any other Olympic event. And so they were all good with it. The question is how do you broaden it outside of that particular venue, meaning to the television audience, to get them even more in tune? They were, I think the men's numbers were the second highest numbers Golf Channel had this year, next to the Masters, which means it surpassed the Open Championship, the PGA Championship, and the U.S. Open. So clearly there's interest, but how do you expand upon that interest and grow the viewership of the event? And I think the only way you can do that is by changing the format. I'm not going to get into all the different permutations you could have with the format, but that would be it. I think golf is clearly a global sport now. It always has been. This just kind of adds to that. And I think golf is a huge add to the Olympics. And the Olympics would be making a huge mistake if they, for some reason, decided that golf didn't fit in that model every 4 years.
And of course, Alex, for our listeners that may not be aware, a vote's going to be taking a little after a year from now to decide whether golf stays in the Olympics beyond 2020, and with the campaigning going on for Los Angeles, wow, I can envision really a fantastic venue for women's golf and for men's golf. If you played most of the courses in that LA area, they certainly have a lot to choose from. But that vote's going to come up in a little over a year. And judging by your tone of voice, Alex, I'm suspecting that you're fairly confident that the IOC is going to vote to have golf stay in the Olympics. Am I right?
Yeah, I really have no question that that's going to be the case. But I had no question before even going for many different reasons. But, yeah, I don't think the IOC would be making that kind of mistake. I think golf will continue in the Olympics beyond 2020. And I will tell you that if they do, if it does, which I'm sure it will, when we go to Los Angeles, there will be a brand new golf course basically being used for that event. It'll be the Griffith Park course that's been around probably for the last 70 years. But it'll be completely redone, and I'm not going to get into who I think the architect's going to be, but I think it's an architect that's already been involved with golf and the Olympics in the past.
Well, it's certainly not going to be the guy that had anything to do back around 1900. Maybe another hint, his initials may very well be GH. But one thing before we move on, Alex, you almost emphatically said that the Olympics are going to be in L.A. in 2024. Do you have inside information? Is that just a feeling on your part? From what I'm hearing, it's still very much up in the air. Am I wrong?
No, I'm sure it's very much up in the air. But here's the thing. The Olympics understands after Rio that they need to go to substantial venues, but venues that economically can handle what's involved. And clearly, Rio and Brazil in general had a huge downturn financially and economically. That is not going to be the case in Tokyo. We already know what the situation is there. It's not going to change that much. And it's certainly not going to change that much in Los Angeles. So you need to go somewhere where you don't have to have these potential problems cropping up all the time. The LA bid requires them to build only one venue. Every other venue already exists. So, I mean, from a financial standpoint, it's a much better deal for L.A. and for the IOC because they know that they don't have a financial problem or potential financial problem either in the United States, California, or Los Angeles. So I think it's a no-brainer for them. I think they probably, if they had to do it all over again, even though Rio was, I think, for them, a quantified success, you know, there are places they could have gone that they wouldn't have had the issues that they had going in. And look, this is a business, basically. The IOC and the Olympics are a business. It's a franchise. You don't want to do anything to screw up your franchise. Take the safe bet. Go to Los Angeles.
Well, it certainly makes sense to me. And as we get off the Olympic topic, a big shout out to Ty Votaw, who was behind the scenes with this Olympic movement since it was first served back in 2009.
The Grill Room is proud to be entertaining the active men and women in the military, both at home and around the world, as part of the Armed Forces Radio Network. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by GolfWeek.com, heard on TuneIn Radio, the Armed Forces Radio Network, and, of course, TalkSport 2, part of the world's largest sports radio station. You can also find us on Twitter at TGR Golf and on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
The Grill Room is thrilled to support the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and all superintendents doing great work for the game we all love. In fact, we call them the unsung heroes in golf. Here's what two-time major winner Jordan Spieth has to say.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Golfin, the innovative award-winning clubs of choice for parents eager to see their kids fall in love with golf. In fact, let's let Callum McPherson, founder and managing director of Golfin, explained how Golfin GFK clubs take the young golfer from beginner to winner.
So our clubs, our golf clubs, are designed and manufactured, as you know, Bob, to make the game easier for kids so that we build confidence and they have fun from the very, very beginning. So we then kind of thought, well, what else can we do to enhance the enjoyment factor and the fun factor for the kids? And we kind of thought, well, what about golf balls? So what we've developed is easy-to-hit golf balls. So we've got a 60mm golf ball. Basically, it's about twice the size of a normal golf ball. Other sports like soccer and rugby, the balls are scaled to the age of the kids. So we're just applying common sense to make it easier for the kids to hit the ball, and these things just pop right up in the air. They're light, they're safe, and they're easy to hit.
Visit golfin.com. That's golphin.com to find out more and how to order your kids the gift of golf right now.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Well, welcome back to the Grill Room. I'm Bob, and of course, he is Alex, a little bit tired from his joint down to Rio to cover the men's Olympic golf event. And as we discussed in the first part of the show, overwhelming success that golf was, both on the men's front and on the ladies' front. Congratulations to both those winners. MB Park for the ladies, Justin Rose for the men. All right, the Wyndham Championship, it was the last chance to qualify for the playoffs. Surprise winner, maybe, Alex, only because he's so young. But I had been hearing for the last year or so, and I'm sure you've probably heard a lot more than me, that Siwoo Kim is the real deal, and he put his game on full display down at Wyndham, shooting 21 under par, blowing away the field. Pretty impressive performance for somebody from South Korea being so young and becoming the 16th first-time winner on the PGA Tour this year. Hats off to him.
Well, Bob, you know, the one thing you have to understand on the PGA Tour, and I actually think this is true on the European Tour as well, as we saw the winner there in the Czech Republic, was the fact that almost anybody that tees it up on a weekly basis has a chance to win. And Kim is just one of many Asian players that have come to the PGA Tour that have shown a lot of game. And really all they're looking for at the by the time they get here is just getting into competition and getting that seasoning to get themselves in position to try to win a golf tournament. I mean, it happened with Hideki Matsuyama. It happened with KJ Choi. It's certainly happening with Siwoo Kim. And actually, you know, when you see that win by five shots over Luke Donald, who is finally showing some aspects of golf again, you realize how good this kid is. And you don't know how good he'll be in 2017 and beyond, but you certainly know that he took care of business with no problem at Wyndham this week.
Let me ask you this, Alex. Just about a year ago, maybe even 6 months ago, it was pretty clear-cut that Hideki Matsuyama was currently the best player from Asia playing professional golf. Maybe we were bestowing that honor a little prematurely. Certainly, Kim seems to have an awful lot of ability to play.
Well, he has an awful lot of ability, but Bob, one win does not make you the best player from a continent. I think you got to give it some time and let's see what happens. Hideki Matsuyama, over time, has shown that he is clearly the best player. And, you know, the thing with Matsuyama is he hasn't figured it out yet completely. He hasn't figured out his short game and his putting. If he ever does that, if that ever comes to fruition, Hideki Matsuyama could be the number one player in the world because he's such a good ball striker, and he's won on the PGA Tour and won at big events, including Memorial. So I think you just got to, you know, Kim won, and that's great, and he certainly showed game. But next week's the next week, and we'll see what happens.
And I'm glad you mentioned the name Luke Donald. Good to see him playing well again. He was 90th in the world rankings. Hard to imagine there are 89 better golfers in the world than Luke Donald, but now he moves up to 64th, probably trying to put on a little run to impress Darren Clark. I know Luke Donald would love to be on that Ryder Cup team when we get to Hazeltine in just a short while. You mentioned Hideki Matsuyama. He finished six shots back at minus 15. Good performance again by Brant Snedeker. All four rounds in the 60s, 65, 68, 65, 67. He also finished at 15 under par. Good play by Snedeker.
Yeah, and locked himself up most likely a Ryder Cup bid either by points or if he falls out after this week at Barclays, he's gonna get a pick. So Brant Snedeker is going to be back on the Ryder Cup team, and I know in talking to him, it was a goal. But like most of these guys, even Luke Donald, while it's a goal, they can't think about it. They can't try to change their schedule or change things up because by doing that, it usually ends up being only disastrous. So as much as they want to be on the team, they realize the only way they're getting on the team is by playing well. Snedeker has done exactly that.
And, of course, Luke Donald wasn't too long ago, Alex. He was the number one money earner on the PGA Tour and the European Tour in the same year. So he's certainly a very, very talented guy. Alpha, former number one player in the world, happens to be an awfully nice guy and quite an artist, by the way. We forget how great he is when it comes to putting some paint down on a canvas.
Yeah, and in talking to him, it's been a while since he's done that, but he's been trying to get his game together, and it seems like maybe finally going back to his old coach, his old college coach, that things are finally getting back to where they should be for Luke Donald. And it gets him in the playoffs, which is what I think we go on next, Bob, which is hard to believe that we're finally at the playoffs. Bethpage, the Barclays this week, top 125, actually are eligible to play in the FedEx standings, but only 122 are going to be there. You know, your thoughts of just how this whole thing has worked, Bob, and also playing the Bethpage.
Well, number one, I think Bethpage is probably one of the best kept secrets. It certainly was until the last 10 or 15 years when had a couple of U.S. Opens there, and it's going to be the site of an upcoming Ryder Cup, which is going to be absolutely tremendous. But Bethpage Black, I mean, everybody's very familiar with that sign that's on the first tee. And I often think when I see it that it warns you how difficult the golf course is, and it says it's for experienced players only. I wonder what would happen if you and I were going to that first tee. Would we have the courage to just ignore that warning and tee off? I guess if it was early in the morning and nobody could see us, we probably would do that.
Yeah, well, it's certainly a good venue. They have a U.S. Open there. They've had a couple FedEx Cup playoff events there. Big event. After that week or after this week, we're going right to New York where Davis Love III will have announced some of his captain's picks. At the same time, I guess he's not announcing his captain's picks yet, but we'll have the nine qualifier or the eight qualifiers. At the same time, Darren Clark will be in Europe after the Denmark event talking about not only his nine qualifiers, which are pretty much set, but also the three picks that he's going to make. I know time is short, Bob, so let's talk more about that if you don't mind. The nine qualifiers for the Europeans are already set. The last guy getting in, Matthew Fitzpatrick, with his play in Prague last week. There are three picks for Darren Clark. Your thoughts on who you think the three picks are?
You know, I was just thinking it's a tough one because one of the possibilities is Lee Westwood. And when we look back at the relationship between Darren Clark and Lee Westwood, I don't see how Darren Clark can leave Lee Westwood off that team. I don't know how you feel about that.
Well, considering Paul McGinley in an event that I was at in Scotland during the Scottish Open said emphatically that there's no way in the world that Lee Westwood would not be on that team, I think every European slash Great Britain and Ireland rider believes that Lee Westwood will be one of the picks. I think the other picks will be Martin Kaymer, who has had a pretty good 2016 season and has a lot of Ryder Cup experience. And then I think it's going to be a rookie in Russell Knox, who not only won on the PGA Tour this year, but won the World Golf Championship in China last year, and has had a very good 2016 season. That means that he's going to jump a couple guys that are on the bubble currently, with Søren Kjeldsen and Tyrrell Hatton. And Tyrrell Hatton has had a pretty good 2016 season. But I think what you have to remember about these picks, Bob, is unlike the U.S. team, which is going to be pretty much a dominated veteran team, the European team is going to have a lot of rookies. Danny Willett, Chris Wood, Rafa, Andy Sullivan, and Matthew Fitzpatrick. That's four rookies going to be on that team. You need, in fact, I take that back. I think that's five rookies. I think you need to have that veteran experience, which Lee Westwood and Martin Keimer will bring to the table.
Certainly Lee Westwood, you know, when it comes to Ryder Cup, he puts on a different face. Let's explain these playoffs, you know, because we did mention 125. We're going to tee it up at Bethpage. Only 100 will move on to Deutsche Bank. And then after Deutsche Bank, which will be contested over Labor Day weekend, 70 will move on to the BMW Championship. And then after the BMW Championship, only the top 30 get to Atlanta in the Tour Championship for the FedEx Cup Finals, $10 million on the line. And if you're in the top five going to Atlanta, you basically control your own destiny. What I mean when I say that is if you're in the top five and you win at Eastlake, then you win that $10 million prize. Now, you can win being outside the top five, but of course, a lot of different things have to happen. But it's going to be pretty exciting, nevertheless. $10 million up for grabs at the end of Atlanta.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. It's the biggest payday you're going to get on the PGA Tour or golf in general. You know, Bob, I think it was 3 years ago I was at the country club, and Matthew Fitzpatrick, who nobody knew anything about, pretty slight young guy from England, shows up and wins the U.S. Amateur. That was 3 years ago. Then on Sunday, he locked down a spot on the European Ryder Cup team. But we still had the U.S. Amateur this week at Oakland Hills, and Curtis Luck beat Brad Delkey 6-4. And what was most, I think, compelling about that is that Luck won like something like 7 or 8 holes in a row in the second 18 to pretty much close out Delkey. Luck is an Australian, and I think he's probably not only the third Australian, but he's the first Australian since Nick Flanagan won back in the day of Marion when we had the U.S. Open there. And what I remember so vividly about that U.S. Amateur is Jay Danzy, who is Jordan Spieth's agent, was basically working with Casey Wittenberg to try to sign him. And so for the entire time, Casey Wittenberg, who was a very good player at the time, probably number one in the amateur rankings, lost in a playoff to Nick Flanagan at Marion in the finals. That's the last Australian to win. Curtis Luck, who now will play in the Masters, the U.S. Open, the British Open, and probably some other invitations, is going to really experience professional golf in a way that he never thought of before. Here's what Luck had to say about his win.
It's obviously an amazing feeling. To be named the U.S. Amateur Champion for 2016. It's something I've dreamt of since I was about 16. Oakland Hills is known as being one of the toughest major venues there is, and it's one that's stood up to time. To be a champion at such a tremendous golf course and a golf course that I had so much fun playing just, yeah, it means the world, you know.
All right, congratulations to Curtis Luck. And if my memory serves me well, in advanced age, but Curtis Luck, certainly the first player that I know of to win the U.S. Amateur with a ponytail. So a little fashion statement by Mr. Luck, besides putting a very, very impressive display of golf talent on the line. On the European Tour, Mr. Maselli, relatively unknown Paul Peterson, won his first European Tour event, only his 23rd start on tour, wins that Czech Masters. Pretty impressive victory for Mr. Peterson.
Hugely impressive victory, needing the birdie at the last to win. and I got to be honest with you, someone that I have no understanding of at all, no knowledge of at all, except for I found out that he's a Oregon State Beaver. Outside of that, I don't know much about him.
Well, he's left-handed, and he became the 11th first-time winner on the European Tour this season. Okay, Labor Day weekend? Well, it's only a week away, which means that Patriot Golf Day is only a week away. Major Dan Rooney from the Foles of Honor Foundation explains it in very simple terms.
Well, you got to go play golf. You can't mow your lawn on that weekend because your country needs you. But there'll be over 6,000 golf courses across America that are participating. They can visit patriotgolfday.com and find a facility participating in their area. But even if, you know, you're out there, encourage your course to participate. It's a very simple program, and we ask golfers to donate at least an extra dollar when they go play golf. And as I said, last year we raised over $6 million by tapping into the benevolent nature of golfers around this country that that want to say thank you to the families who've had someone killed or disabled defending their freedoms as an organization. This year we'll award our 13,000th scholarship. We should put north of $15 million out the door. We still got about 6 months left, so those numbers aren't set in stone, and we're just working as hard as we can to raise funds so we don't leave any family behind on the field of battle, and that's what Patriot Golf Day is all about.
Patriot Golf Day over Labor Day weekend? Please go to your club and ask how you can participate, or if you're not able to play, you can still participate by just going to patriotgolfday.com and find out how.
Well, that's it for this week. You've been listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn Radio, the Armed Forces Radio Network, and, of course, TalkSport 2, powered by GolfWeek.com.
And a big thank you to all partners, the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, the Golfin, innovative clubs for all ages, beginners to winners, that's their motto, and to GolfWeek.com. So for Janice Self, Alex Bowtie, Miceli, and myself, Bob Bupka, thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Hey, please, follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf and like us on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.